Good morning to each one of you here this morning. God bless you. My thoughts went several ways already this morning. I thought of Jesus' words after Marlon sat down there that he said, "Remember Lot's wife." It's a short scripture, but it's packed with a lot of things to just review or just to consider in our own lives, how we, humanity has a tendency to look back. That's, Jesus also said that he that put his hands to the plow and looketh back is not worthy to be my disciple. So those are just some thoughts that have been going through my mind. And I also thought of that song this morning, 651. I was just blessed by the promises in that song. Beautiful. It talks about, O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call, my comfort by day and my comfort, my song in the night, my hope, my salvation, my all. And then it talks about, where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort with thy sheep to feed them in pastures of love? Say, why in the valley of death should I weep, or lone in this wilderness rove? You know, there's a lot of times that we can feel kind of alone in this life, but we're really not. If we can call upon the Lord in those times. And but I would just, the fourth verse says, "Ye daughters of Zion, declare, have you seen the star that on Israel has shone?" That is Jesus Christ. Have you seen that star? The daughters of Zion, I believe, that are the sisters here that have been born again by the Spirit of God. Have you seen that star that on Israel has shone? And I believe that it's just something for us to consider, that if we have seen that star, that is, we are blessed. And then Steve this morning talked a little bit about prayer and the importance of it, and why that God hears and answers prayers if they're according to his will. May our hearts be surrendered to that and be encouraged to pray in season and just pray that the Lord would answer the things that we need among us, you know, in our own lives and as a congregation and a flock that is finding its way. And we know that we need to resist the devil and flee from him. And the Lord can help us in that if our heart is to flee from those things. But in, upon that, you know, I was just considering recently here that Paul, in most of his epistles, he would instruct the Romans and the Corinthians, and his letters to Timothy and Titus, he would tell them that they were to pay attention to doctrine, giving heed. So that's the title of my message this morning, is to giving heed to sound doctrine. Then of course, there's always that, there's a lot of unsound doctrine out there, and there's a lot of false teachers, and there's a lot of doubts and fears. But if we heed to sound doctrine, I believe that it gives us a strength and ability to endure until the end, which is what we want to strive for. So why don't we just bow our heads for a word of prayer here this morning. Yes, Lord, we do want to come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us again this morning as a little flock here in Indiana. I pray, Lord, that you might help us this day, Lord, to learn more of you, to become more like Christ, that we would learn what you desire from the church, Lord, and in a more significant way, Father, and help us all to that we could have single eyes this morning to worship you in spirit and truth, for you are worthy. I pray for the children among us here today, Lord, that you would open their ears, Lord, that they might give attention to the hearing of your word, Father, that we could be ministered to by your grace and by your spirit. We ask you to strengthen me, Lord, according to the power of your might. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So with those thoughts on doctrine, first of all, we'll give a brief definition of the word doctrine. And you'd be surprised, but the scripture or the dictionaries, they kind of turn it to, they turn it right to the Word of God. So whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master, the doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ and his apostles. And number two, it means the act of teaching. Mark 4:2, there's a scripture there. I'm not going to turn to all of them. Learning, knowledge. Isaiah 28, I think I will turn to that right now. Maybe I wait on that. Isaiah 28, and then it's a... let's just turn to that. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. He tells us that whom shall he teach knowledge, or whom and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It's two questions. And then he says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go. But they fell backward and were broken and snared and taken. You know, this is a promise of God that we will be able to walk forward if we, take heed to sound doctrine. He says that, and he also says, he mentions weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That means that once you receive salvation, he expects you to move on in doctrine and line upon line in the knowledge that he gives you as you grow in grace and knowledge. It's just a beautiful promise here. And then he gives this you can have in verse 12, that he gives rest to the weary in that. He causes us to rest if we... And also, it's a refreshing for us. It's a promise. That's just a beautiful picture of that. And then it's also number five, doctrine is instruction and confirmation in the truths of the gospel. I believe it's confirmation. We look to it, the instruction, for instruction, and it also confirms us as we look in it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, and... I think I'll just turn to that to get the whole verse. 2 Timothy 2. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then in... So with that, I believe that Paul, we're going to look into mostly scripture here this morning, but to help us get it divided here, there's a lot of, I think we need some help in identifying and understanding false doctrine or heresy. The things that lead us away from God, that's false doctrine. In Colossians 2:8, it tells us to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So those are, and we're going to turn to a couple of scriptures there about that. Isaiah 29, verses 13 to 16. Isaiah 29. And he gives, this is the same words that Jesus Christ spoke. It says that, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay, for shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not, or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding? That is when I think it's something for us to consider, is those verses there in our lives. You know, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us or who knoweth us? The tendency of humanity is that we, basically what we're saying is the one that made me don't see me as I am, or is not seeing what I do. The thing that framed me, I'm telling God he had no understanding. It's just a little bit, I think, I was blessed by those verses in Matthew 15, some of Jesus' words. I think we'll talk about them a little bit. Matthew 15, he repeats some of Isaiah here. Matthew 15. Verse 1, Then came to Jesus scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Well, we're talking about false doctrine here. Why do ye also transgress the tradition? But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. This was what God said. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, as I look at that, and he called the multitude, and let's read a little further there, and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. But as you look into that scripture there, there's another place in the Gospels where it says that they said that it is Corban. And what was happening here, as I understand it, I could be wrong here, but this is the way I understand it. God had said that honor your father and your mother. The scribes and Pharisees were saying that the finances and the money that it takes to honor our father and mother, we're giving to the poor. So we don't have time to take care of our father and mother. That's basically what this scripture is teaching here. But Jesus said that you have made that a tradition of men, and you've made the commandment of God of none effect, which says, take care of your mom and dad. And he said, and as I think of this, a long-standing tradition, even in the United States here, how that the people do not have time to take care of the moms and dads. The nursing homes are overflowing. They have the same thought process as the scribes and Pharisees did. We don't have time for that. We got better things to do. That was their, we're going to help. Oh, they were going to help the poor too. They did. They said, this money it's a gift for the poor. And we don't have time to, and how is it in this land? You know, we look at that and we say that's bad, but right under our noses, you know, we have nursing homes in every city, you know, just on the outskirts of every city, just overflowing by this same wrong tradition. That's something for us to consider. You know, we need to identify that for what it is. But then the thing that is a warning for me is that when something, there can be a wrong tradition in place for a long time, and suddenly it diminishes its wrongfulness, and it gets weakened in our mind that we fail to look at it in the light of the Word of God, which is, this is one of these. And then you talk about, what about the government and health care? It all comes down, it falls right under this scripture right here, most of it. Now, I believe that the health care, the hospitals are necessary, but nursing homes are included in health care. I do want to allow that there are times when children don't have the ability to care for their parents, and there is times for that. I allow for that, but this country as a whole has just waylaid this thing and just let it go. We're okay. Just fill the nursing homes up. And then what is amazing is that mother and father's life savings it takes to do that. You know, that's what, I mean, that's just the way it works. It's amazing how that we get so numb to it that we don't even see it. That is one thing. So then we want to move on to Hebrews 13, verse 9. There's one in there, a verse I'd like to look at. Hebrews 13, verse 9. He says, be not carried away, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, I believe that we could say that diverse means various and strange doctrines, but in this day and age, there's a lot of winds of doctrine pop up in different places, and don't flock to those things. One thing I believe that the doctrine of God we will find is you can turn to James in 1:17. It says that every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables, nor neither shadow of turning. I think that's a comforting verse. I believe, for the most part, I just believe this, that every good and profitable doctrine from God is a steady, consistent doctrine. There's not a lot of wavering or wayfaring or winds blowing from either direction, but the doctrine of God holds true to its course. And that is why we need to look to it, because it'll take us where God intends us to go. And I think that, you know, this scripture says here that whether there is no, with whom, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, I just marvel at that. That is a true plumb line. I mean, my hand don't need to turn very much to create a shadow, but if it's true, that is a real anchor to hang on to right there. The Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So that is, and then we want to continue there. There's warnings in Scripture about false teaching. Matthew 5:19, we'll turn to a few scriptures here. Matthew 5, verse 19. He says, verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to talk about the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Okay, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through, we'll read just about that whole chapter. 2 Timothy 3, we'll share a little bit on it as we go through it. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection. What about, you know, that I see that natural affection thing. The nursing homes are overflowing, and the foster care system is overflowing. They don't know where to go with it because of people losing their natural affections. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Incontinent means never satisfied. fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And this is Paul telling Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. At Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ Jesus. Now, I believe that one thing I would like to make us all aware of, if we're walking in true doctrine, there's people on the outside looking in and gonna step forward and say that we're dead, that you're dead. What you're doing is nothing but a long-standing tradition, but that is why we need to confirm and reaffirm the doctrine we practice by the Word of God. And it doesn't matter if it's 100 or 50 years old or 20 or 10 or 15, if it's according to the Word of God, it is wise for us for our salvation. It is a bulwark in our faith. It is something that will move us on as God intends us to. Whether the world is standing on the outside saying it's dead tradition or dead religion, which that's going to happen. It's happening today. 1 Timothy 6:3, but I think that we see a lot of these things happening here in the latter days. We're there, we're here. People ever learning, never satisfied with the scripture as God has given, and let's just leave that. I want to talk about that later. 1 Timothy 6:3. There's another verse warns us. He talks about if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. One thing I'd like to turn to upon that is in John chapter 7. Some of Jesus' own words. This was when Jesus was teaching to the Jews. In verse 15, and the Jews of John chapter 7, verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I think I'll just quit there, but just to emphasize that Christ spoke the doctrine of God. God, I mean, they were one in their doctrine, but he, you know, there was some direction that Christ adhered to himself. And that was, he said, you know, the doctrine of the one that sent me is what I'm telling you. Then that corresponds with that verse in Timothy. It just says that any man consent not to the wholesome, the complete words of Jesus Christ, have nothing to do with him. You know, or how does he finish that? He lays some charges to that man. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions, strife, and perverse disputing, the corrupt minds, destitute of truth. From such, he ends that. Yes, I thought he did. From verse 5, he says, from such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, there is a lot of, I believe that we could look at that verse just a little bit deeper. There is a lot of, I don't know how to say this, without, you know, I don't want to condemn people. That's not my heart at all. But there's many churches in this land, and many churches will preach Jesus Christ, but is it complete? Is it the wholesome words, all of it? You know, that is just something to be aware of. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing of his and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, these are just some, I just believe that, you know, the time will come when they will not endure. They will not. I believe that sound doctrine has an enduring quality, that he that endures until the end shall be saved. And that's just a it's a call to us. It's an encouragement that we need to press on, just and not be ashamed at the doctrine that we practice. You know, don't be ashamed of the things that are supported by the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2. Speaking of false prophets here. I'm just speaking of the false doctrine, deception that's out there. But there were also false prophets. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. We could go on there, but we'll just quit with that. But there's plenty of things out there to examine, I guess. And then in 2 Peter 3, verse 17... he encourages here that we should, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It's a call to follow doctrine. And then there's deceivers and deceptions out there in Romans 16. We'll turn to that a little bit. But one thing I do want to mention here is that the heart of God is that in Jesus, in Matthew 23, when he was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, that was the biggest challenge, or the biggest one of the, it really rankled Jesus Christ, was the deception that they practiced. And I think we should take that to heart today, that God is not deceived. And he hates those that are trying to deceive. That's just a warning for all of us. Okay, Romans 16, verse 17. Or let's just go to verse 17, 18, and 19. Romans 16. Verse 16, let's just read that. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I think that's a profound scripture there that we should take to heart. Let you know that I guess what struck me was that he says, I'm telling you this, but I want you to sharpen up unto that which is good and have some wisdom in that which is good and simple, and don't be high-minded about when you're trying to discern evil. You know, it shouldn't be a challenge to just keep it black and white. Keep it simple, he's saying. When you're looking at something you don't know for sure, why, it's better to let it go if you're not clear on it. And usually on something like that, a little time will give a fuller revelation of it. Then you'll know for sure. But be simple concerning evil. If you have a doubt, don't. That's the way I see that. Don't make it some grave, mysterious thing that, you don't know if that's wrong. Or, you know, just be simple concerning it. I was just blessed by that for my own life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 11. Second Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 12. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, there's a good warning here that we are to examine our teachers by the fruits. You shall know the tree. That it's just and the enemy is going to use men and things that look very much like the real thing, and that is why that we need to be aware. You know, he tells us here to. They transformed themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan, the devil, did that himself. But he says their end is going to be according to their works. You know, if they're, it comes right back to that deception thing. If we say one thing and do another, that's what we started out with, that their heart is far from me. Okay, with that, I'd like to turn to, John. Let's turn to, now we want to, I'd like to just, Ephesians 4:14, there's another verse there, you can write that down, that talks about some false doctrine. Let's just turn to that, Ephesians 4, verse 14. He talks about, he gives some, the diversity or spiritual gifts in the church, what it's for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, Ephesians 4, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to destroy. It's just a warning for us that there's men out there lying in wait to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. And there, it's there's a lot of, I see he gives this picture of being in a ship tossed back and forth and running here and there and carried about with that doctrine, low here and low there. That is not the true The doctrine of God and Jesus Christ is a steady and true plumb line. It doesn't do that stuff. Okay, in Now we want to turn to the good or correct doctrine. There's some scriptures here that I think would do us well to look into. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, I thought was a real blessing as I looked into that. Deuteronomy chapter 32. It was after, it was a thanksgiving of Moses to the children. If I can get it here. It was actually a song of victory or a song of, it was a song of Moses. Verse 30 of 31, Moses, and Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. He says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. He made him ride on the high place of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck the honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and the rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. This is the promise. Moses was exhorting the people that the doctrine of God shall drop as the dew in the morning, you know. Isn't that a beautiful, I mean, who wants to be there? That's a beautiful place to be. As a small rain, but we've had, you know, showers this week. We see what that does immediately. The grass and the corn and everything responds to that shower of rain as showers upon grass. You know, that's the doctrine of God. That's what he wants to distill upon his people. That's a beautiful place to be. I was just blessed by that scripture. And then in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 6. Might read just a little further there. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now I would just, as I read that, there was something that, you know, Paul, he was commending Timothy in his doctrine in that he had already attained and where he was at, the doctrine that he was practicing, he was saying, this is good, whereunto thou hast attained. You know, don't let up on where you already got, have already gotten. He's saying that. But then he goes on to say, you know, I think we're going to leave that. Then in Titus, Titus 1:9, he tells them, this is the qualifications of a bishop, but it applies to all of us. He says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You see what sound doctrine does in the Christian's life? It exhorts the believer and convinces the unbeliever. That's what it's intended to do. In our lives, as we, in faith, practice what God has told us, it convinces the gainsayers and exhorts the believers. It's just a beautiful place there. And then in Titus 2, I think we will read that whole chapter. Titus 2, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's something that is society has just pitched. They laid it aside. The women don't have to be obedient to their husbands. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us this grace of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. That chapter there is sound doctrine for all of us. It's just a beautiful picture there. Then there in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, there was a verse I wanted to talk to about a little bit. Now there's, Paul was writing to Timothy here. Let's begin in verse 4. Verse 3. And as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He give a, you know, there's some guidelines, some parameters that you need to stay into. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law and understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You know, in verse 10 there, You know, it comes back to making a righteous judgment and assessment of the things that we face. You know, there's a teaching out there nowadays that says that this, that if it's not in the Bible, you can't teach it. Word for word per se. If it's not in that list that's mentioned there or many of the other lists, you can't stand on it. But he tells Timothy here that if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, you know, if we look at something, examine it in our homes, in our lives, in our churches, if it's not word for word in the Word of God, but the end result is going to be something that is contrary to sound doctrine, we need to teach it and preach it and practice it. Because, you know, I would say the Bible says that there's no new thing under the sun. And most of the things that come along in life, we can examine, we can look back, or we can examine and know what happened to those that practiced it 30 years ago. Those are things that we can draw conclusions from that we it's contrary to sound doctrine. We need to move away from it. That's just, he gives us the responsibility and liberty to do that in faith, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. So he gives believers a responsibility and some strength, because we're doing it because that it's contrary. The end result is clearly going to be unsound doctrine. That's just I was just blessed by that verse. So with that, there's sometimes we see trends in churches, and sometimes I think we need to open our eyes to some things that are among us that might, that will turn into unsound doctrinal direction for the church. You know, what about some things? I don't have near all of them, just a few things that come to my mind that if we hold, you know, number one, I believe, is the ecumenical movement, where there's a push nowadays that everyone comes together, we worship God together, we hold hands in all things. We might have a few discrepancies here and there, but for the most part, if they say they're Christians, we just embrace them. I don't believe that's sound doctrine. Jesus said, or Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate. He says that very clearly. And there again, we need to hold to the truths of the Word of God, where you know the men by the fruit, and that a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. Those are things that, you know, those that the ecumenical movement, where we want to embrace. And I don't want to be standoffish or high-minded, but we just take the Word of God and examine it. By the fruit you shall know them. That's one thing. There could be many more. Number two, I believe there might be a wrong understanding of the grace, of the grace of God. And in saying that, I want to be very careful, because the grace of God is many things. If we look into that, having said that, you know, let's look at some of what the Scripture says that the divine grace of God is. Number one, it is freely given. Psalms 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." That's a wonderful promise. The Lord will give grace and glory. Number two, it enables believers for service. 1 Corinthians 3, we're speaking of the grace of God here. This was just, I just looked at it for my own life here, and I trust you'll be blessed by it. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 and 11. It says, this is Paul's talking about his laboring or ministering. Verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's buildings, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man that take heed how he buildeth thereon." That's just, it enables believers and give them strength for service. Number three, 1 Peter 5:5, it is promised to the humble. Humble, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Number four, it is made evident by self-denial and sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. We're speaking of the grace of God here. There could be a message on that, but I just wanted to cover it briefly here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's speaking of a self-sacrificial life. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That, you know, that we would be willing to lay down our lives for the benefit of the people around us. That's a sacrificial, the grace of God is made evident by that. And then the next one, this grace, it's a sufficient grace for all of our needs. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, you know that verse, but we'll read it. This was when Paul was being challenged with a thorn in the flesh. Verse 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is being, you know, I believe there's a sufficient grace when we rest in where God has placed us today. The grace of God will be sufficient. This grace of God is the source of power over sin. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Number seven is it's salvation by grace. In Ephesians 2, it tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. We're justified by grace. Romans 3:24. We receive justification by grace. But I just, you know, there's also in Titus 2, that we'll leave that, in Titus 2:11, which you read, that the grace of God is a teacher, teaches us to deny ungodliness, live soberly and righteously. And then it talks about the riches of his grace in Ephesians 1, verse 7. We'll turn to that. There's a richness, or there's a, I believe that that's a, maybe we could, let's just read that, Ephesians 1, verse 7. We have redemption in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, that's just, there's a, I think that we have, do we understand the value of that grace, I guess is the question. Do we understand the value of that grace, the riches of his grace? Do I esteem it in its right value? That's the question for myself. Ephesians 2, verse 7, he told us that he's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, which is today, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's the riches of his grace. Now, but turning back to just a little bit here, that I think that some of the misconceptions of grace are that it is a license to lasciviousness. You know, in other words, we approach things with, and I want to be careful how I say this, but if we have the mindset that if we plan to stumble and then think that the grace of God will cover us or will be there for us. I don't believe that the grace of God is there for a planned sinning against God. if you know what I mean. If you have the knowledge of it that it's wrong, you still go ahead. And I believe there's, you know, the grace is, I want to be heard right here. I believe that His grace is all sufficient. But we can't take the approach that the Catholics have taken, that if I sin today, I can pay the priest tomorrow. You know, sometimes I think grace is taken that way, which is a wrong approach to grace. It's a wrong understanding. And I would talk to somebody. It's not a license to do as I please or in the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh. If I want to walk in that, then think that the grace of God is there for me, I think I should check that out. The next one, the unsound doctrinal direction, divorce and remarriage. Divorce and marriage, I would just say it like that. I don't have to, you know how it is out there. They have taken the sanctification out of marriage and made it an unholy thing. But a marriage is holy and sacred in the eyes of God. May we adhere to that. But I believe that we have the Word of God that we can take a stand on it. But some churches take the approach that we welcome everyone, we preach against it. That's kind of the thrust out there right now. We preach against it. Number four, the structure or order or direction of the church, how the church should function, I believe is there's a lot of unsound doctrinal direction in those things. You know, how the church is made up of the brethren and how they're to work together and under the head of Christ, and that those things are coming under some a lot of attacks from the enemy. But we need to look at the Word of God again. Here's one that if the heart is right. That's a favorite phrase that's out there. If the heart is right, that's all that matters. And I believe there's some truth to that. But that there again, it doesn't give you a liberty to live after the desires of your flesh and say that my heart is right. That is doing despite to the Spirit of grace, as the Scripture says. That's number five. And number six is that beware of the doctrine of there's new revelations out there. Men say that they have heard from God and say that they're filled with the Spirit of God and then do things that are contrary to the Word of God. There's no new revelations out there, I don't believe. I mean, I believe that God can speak to a man, but it needs to be correspond with the Word of God through His Spirit and His Word. Then there's also that. There's that humanity, they have a tendency to get tired of something after a year or two, that or 10, 20 years, it gets old, and there's a mindset develops that if it's old, it's no good. That's a wrong doctrine. We need to adhere to the Word of God. And then there's a few scriptures in closing here. I'd like to look at a few in John just to... This kind of is not about doctrine, but we're going to look at them first. If I can find them here. In the Gospel of John. We've been going through that as a family and was just blessed by some of those teachings. I was just thinking here in John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as I looked at that, the response here, I believe, is for all of us in here. You know, just maybe for our children, the response of the Jews here. They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed. We have a good pedigree. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I just think that's a good it just came to me there. Jesus answered them, saying to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commit a sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I was just blessed by those verses. You know, sometimes I believe that we can kind of develop that mindset in our children, maybe, in saying that I trust you're not, but let us beware that they will get the mindset that they had here, that we're not in bondage to sin. But he says that Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is in bondage to sin. And he says, and I am the only one that can set you free, that you might receive forgiveness of sin. I was just blessed by those verses there this morning. And then turning the page in 8:51, verse 51, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. I was just blessed by that verse. And I'd like to turn to, in conclusion here today, in the epistles of John, there's a few verses there. Epistles of John, chapter 2. Verse 7. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, I believe that everyone in here wants to receive a full reward. Verse 9 and 10 is what I'm getting to. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Just some beautiful truths there. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. I think that is all I have here today. If there's something that was shared that is not the Word of God, why I would like to be approached. Thank you, and God bless all of you.